It's great to be with you again, Covenant Church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul. I work here, not here at Covenant, but at Christ College as the lecturer in Old Testament and Hebrew. And we'll be looking at this wonderful passage today. So let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we ask that you open our ears and our hearts so that we may receive what you have given to us. And Lord, would you soften us so that we may heed it and also act upon it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In 2018, I went to the deep into the country of South Korea to what Koreans call Shigol. That's just this, you know, the country where there is not much there other than farmland and mountains. And I went with my dad because he wanted to show me my roots. So one morning, we took a car ride toward a mountain, got off, and then walked up a mountain. And you might be asking, why? Well, in Korea, you can find your ancestors buried on a mountain. And that's why we were there. And where the burial is, you'll be able to find a stone. And on that stone, you could read the names of your predecessors. And I saw mine carved out on a big, nice-looking stone. Now, I couldn't read much of it because the names are written in Chinese. But my father began reading them out for me. And I felt a kind of sense of confusion while listening to these names. And if you were from that generation, well, you wouldn't be confused. However, if you are born in this generation, you would find it strange. Because in this genealogy, you will not find the name of one woman. Now, in many cultures in the past, women were not thought to be equal as men. That's Korea, for instance. Case in point, many cultures believed, and some still believe, that women should not receive the family's inheritance. Now, the men in the room can think that this is no good, and I think it's no good, but it's actually quite difficult for us to put ourselves in the shoes of women who have not received the benefits of a man. However, I still believe that many of us can still understand what it feels like to not have much when I ask this question. What is your inheritance? Now, do you have a lot coming your way? Do you have nothing? Now, inheritance is a little bit of a dirty word these days. You know, you may have heard the word old money, right? People have old money. You have a friend who works a casual job, has less talent than a three-legged dog, and you wonder, how do they live in a penthouse in Mossman? Ah, I see what's going on. Dad's got money. Now, I'm not saying this to make fun of the rich. We definitely need wealthy people in the church because they do a lot of good things in church. But what I want to raise is this fundamental longing that exists in every single one of us. We all would like an inheritance. Because deep down inside us, when we see others who have things for no particular reasons other than being born into a family, we feel a sense of jealousy, right? Kind of, I wouldn't mind that. We all would like an inheritance, whether it's a family heirloom, a house in Sydney, Australia, wouldn't be nice, right? Your mom's favorite cutlery set. It doesn't even have to hold monetary value. I wish I had my grandma's kimchi making skills. But every time I asked her, she said, oh, you just need to put this much and that much. And you're like, what? This doesn't make any sense. She said, you got to know by taste. I'm like, well, that's not very helpful at all. But now she's aged and she says to me that her taste buds have gone and she can't taste the same kimchi that she used to make. Well, I probably won't be tasting her kimchi forever now. But brothers and sisters, we all long for an inheritance. So what does Numbers 36 have to do with inheritance? Lots, actually. And those of us who have a keen eye, you would have noticed that I'm preaching from the last chapter of the book of Numbers. Now, for me to make some sense at all, I need to give some background to the book of Numbers. What's going on here? Well, Numbers, the book of Numbers, tracks the journey of the Israelites from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab. and it deals with a number, pun intended, of issues as they journey across the land. For instance, it deals with issues of what formation does Israel need to be in while they walk? How do they set up camp when they stop? And you might think this, well, that's a bit micromanagey. Well, if you're dealing with the tabernacle, that's not the case. Because if you're dealing with the tabernacle which housed the very presence of God, any wrong movement as you were walking with the tabernacle could have you dead. So God tells them what to do in this book. He gives them the law. Not only that, God gives the Israelites some instructions on what they are to do once they move into the promised land. God gives his people laws. He gives them statutes and instructions. Laws about who will receive what part of the land, who gets to keep what. And if you're an Israelite, you would be getting excited at this point. It's like God reading out the will for the next generation as they move into the promised land. And among these laws, statutes, and instructions, we find Numbers chapter 36, the very last chapter. And it is about inheritance. The inheritance of a family, actually. A family in the eyes of most in the time who would actually lose everything that they had. Because the next generation of this particular family is not made up by sons, but just daughters. But we'll get more to that as we go. For most of the book of Numbers, it gives us a bird's eye view, a top-down view of what is going on. The Israelites need to be formed in this certain way as they walk. Some people rebel against Moses, so they are eaten up by the ground. But here in chapter 36, right from the outset, we find ourselves zooming into the lives of, like what I said before, one particular family, the family of Zelophehad. It also zooms into those who take care of individual families. These are the elders, and they have some particular concerns. So what do they do? What do the people of Israelites do when they have a concern about the law? They want to ask a question. They go to the man himself, Moses. But what is the concern of these elders? Well, brother Zelophehad has daughters and no sons. But that isn't really just the issue. The issue is that the law in its current state, handed down to Moses, has no provisions for what is to happen. Under most circumstances, the eldest son would normally receive a double portion of the inheritance. If you're an eldest son, and I am, I would be cheering as an Israelite. And what happens after that is that all the other parts of the inheritance is split up and given to the other sons. However, if a family did not have a son, then the inheritance would be given to the daughters. However, if that daughter were to get married, and herein lies the issue, then the daughter's inheritance would be subsumed into the husband's. And it was quite common for the daughters to leave their tribe and live with the husband's tribe. And now I hope you see the issue here. Because if your family keeps having daughters, one Israelite tribe will just have all the inheritance, or your tribe may lose all your inheritance. A tribe of many daughters could be left with no inheritance. Now, the elders would have thought that God's intention was that each one of the tribes would keep their inheritance, right? It's a normal thing to think about. And that is why they go out to Moses and chat to him. And this issue is spelled out in verses 3 and 4. You know, when I first read about this passage, I actually thought to myself, wait, is this an issue for the daughters of Zelophehad or these elders? Right? Because these elders, they could be concerned about just keeping their family lands, more about these daughters and the justice for them. But the daughters are not really the issue. That's what we get in the Bible. live in a much more individualistic culture. So when we think about someone losing their inheritance, we're only thinking about themselves. But in a culture where families is so important, where tribes people is so important, where the elders see themselves not separate from an individual, but one as a whole, this is actually an issue for the whole of the tribe. And it's also an issue for the individual as well. And so when we think about this, it's not a either-or elders versus, and they see the Zelophehad's daughters as problems. No, this is a problem for the whole tribe. This is a potential, what they may have thought, an injustice for the tribe. And try to put yourself in the shoes of the daughters of Zelophehad. Marriage is something that happens as a norm in your society. However, should you get married, your family inheritance will be taken away. The inheritance that your father received from his father and from his father will be taken away. It is a matter of losing family inheritance. That's the issue here. It's inheritance. Now, for those of us who have an inheritance, those of us who are receiving something from our parents, as you think about as you age, imagine the thought of losing it all. Not to your husband or your wife, necessarily, but to your in-laws. Now, some of you love your in-laws. I love my in-laws. I often like going over to their place and eating the food there. But to lose everything to your in-laws is a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Everything that my parents worked so hard for is just given over to my in-laws. That's just the law, apparently. That would be a very difficult pill to swallow. It may or may not be used for your children. And if just thinking about that, if that was me, I would have a lot of questions that need to be answered. And I hope you feel and see the issue that's going on here in this passage. The loss of family inheritance. But our Lord God is gracious, and he hears the concerns of this family. And he understands, of course he does. And then Moses, he speaks to Moses and says this, the tribe is right. So what are they to do? He says in verse 6, he says this, they may marry anyone they please as long as they marry within their father's tribal clan. God says, you family of Zelophehad, hold a family meeting and make your choice. But there's a catch to it. They can only marry within the tribe. Not to worry, guys, this tribe is quite big, so it's not like they're going to be marrying their first cousins and you're going to have any big issue. No, it's a big tribe, so they can find someone to marry. But it isn't. But still, the choices are limited. But what can we do here? This is the best way to keep the inheritance within the tribe. And now we have a solution. Just marry within the tribe. Because through this method, inheritance won't be lost or transferred outside the wider family. The issue that plagues the Israelites in our passage today is not necessarily that the people will have an inheritance. Having an inheritance is not an issue. But the issue is the unequal distribution of inheritance. And like I said before, those of us who don't have much of an inheritance, we can understand that feeling of an unequal inheritance. Yet it is also something that those of us who have lots to receive must think about too. As a pastor before my job at Christ College and as a student minister, our church went to a church, Sydney Living Hope, now changed to Living Hope Presbyterian Church. Our church went to India a lot because we had a missions partner. So I've been to India a fair few times, 4 times, in fact. I live in Tungabi and I talk to some of my neighbors and they say, you've been to India more than I have. And I said, well, I love India, I guess. But I've been to India 4 times for mission trips. Last year, when our team went, we did something that we never got to do before. And that was to go around the streets of Kolkata looking for our Kresh students. So there's Kresh students that go to the church. and just saying hi to them and saying, come to church on Sunday. We for some reason, this was the first time we got to do this. And what I experienced was something I'll never forget. Some of these children live in poverty. Not relative poverty, but real poverty. Their homes are literal sheds with very little protection from the elements. And it makes you think, as you stand looking at a child with a bright smile on your face, just because you came to visit them, man, that could have been me. And I've been blessed with so much living in Australia. Now, are you upset that you aren't receiving a house in Mosman as an inheritance? Or visit India one time, and the thought of having little in this world will begin to disappear. Here is my point. Everyone knows what inequality looks like, the seeming unfairness that exists in this world. Why was it that you and me, why is it that we live in Sydney, Australia, living a pretty good life and not sleeping in a shed in Kolkata? This issue is not inheritance in this passage, nor is inheritance ever an issue. It's actually the way it's been distributed. Now, coming back to our passage, we see that in verses 10 to 13, that God's commandment to the family of Zelophehad is executed. This is what they do. And it sets a precedent now. In the law of Israel, this is what is to happen. If you have only daughters, you can just get married within your tribe to keep that inheritance. And this is what will happen within the promised land. It is a solution that works for the time being. Notice what I said. It's a solution that works for the time being. It's just for that time as they live in the promised land. But why would God give a solution that will just work for time? Have you ever thought about it like this? Isn't the promised land the end of all things? Isn't that the final place to go? The real answer to that question is actually no. The promised land was actually not the end of all things. Neither was this formation of Israel, and neither was the inheritance of the land the ultimate promise and inheritance given by God. It was actually just the beginning. God's intention was never for the Israelites to live in this land called Canaan forever. Was it God's intention to live in a tent or a tabernacle forever? No, absolutely not. God wanted to be with his people, and that means to abide with them, to commune with them. And that means God would have to change the very face of the land and its people, or better, how about this? Change the face of the world to be with his people. You know, in the previous chapter, Numbers 35, there's a section devoted to the creation of refugee cities in the promised land. This refugee cities was to house criminals. But is God's final destination for his people a place where there still be criminals? No. God's final destination for his people is a city where there will be no tears, no crying, no pain, and no death. The land of Israel, or the promised land, was not the ultimate inheritance for God's people. And I just wonder, whether all of this should have just been a non-issue in the first place. What Israel was supposed to look like as they moved into the promised land was one big family, one huge family with their father Abraham. How is it an issue if one family owned different things to another family? You are, after all, you're one big family. The main theme of the book of Numbers is about the covenant community, the community that God made a promise with. The Israelites were meant to be one. Because they are saved as one people, God chose them to be a single chosen nation. Now, of course, everyone had their individual thoughts and deeds and what they needed to do. But this aspect of inheritance, shouldn't it be shared amongst each other? And what's so bad if one inheritance goes to another tribe's inheritance? Don't we all live and benefit as one? Think about it like this. in heaven, do you think you and I will be fighting about our inheritance? Like, Emily, you've got it too much. I don't know, you've got a heaven-like Ford Falcon or something, and I got a Toyota Camry. I'm very upset about this. I don't think it'll be an issue in heaven. We're not going to be fighting about the relative wealth that we have in heaven. It won't be an issue in heaven. So at the end of the day, when we read this passage, we can see that something good is happening, yes. But the Israelites were also a little short-sighted. Yes, in terms of their understanding of the law, God even tells them that they're correct. But remember, this law was given just for a time being. And yes, it does figure some things out, but it doesn't figure everything out. Moses says that they can keep their earthly inheritance. That's good. And the people would be excited about that. Zelophehad's daughters, the tribe, would be, oh yes, we get to keep our inheritance. But the promised land is not the end place. It's not everything. The inheritance that they will receive in the promised land in Canaan was not everything. Yes, the promised land is filled with milk and honey, but they should have known that the real promised land that would come would need no milk nor honey, but it would have eternal life. Oh, the short-sightedness of these Israelites. But you know what? When I think about these Israelites and I look at them and we read about them and their short-sightedness, I often think about it like this. They resemble myself. Is that me? Being there, receiving something here on earth, yet doing everything so that I can keep it. Now, I have one child, and I am often consumed with the thought of what I will leave behind after I pass away. I'm 30 years old. I'm thinking about this already. It's crazy. I'm worried sick about what could unfold in the next 20, 30, 40 years here in Australia. Now, let me just get this point across. It's not a bad thing to want security for our children. It's not. It's not a bad thing to have more so that we can give more to our parents or leave behind for our family. Zelophehad wanted to do that for his daughters, and his daughters would have wanted to do the same for their father. The desire is there in us, and it is not necessarily coming from a selfish place. But I wonder if that is the best thing for us, or the only thing that we should be consumed by, is really working our bottoms off so that we can grow our inheritance, so that our children can have a great inheritance on earth, the best thing we can do. Or are we being a little short-sighted? At the end of our passage, the daughters of Zelophehad did as God commanded them. The names of these four daughters are listed. That's pretty significant in the Hebrew Bible. They get married, and then inheritance remains within the tribe. Even though God's ultimate plan was never for this people to just inherit a land in Canaan, God still delivers. He always does. And now the tribe of Manasseh keep their inheritance. You know, I think that the tribe of Manasseh kept their land because of this law. In fact, every family with only daughters would have kept their land, kept their inheritance because of this law. That's a good thing, you would say, wouldn't you? It's a good thing for them to keep this law. But they should have never thought that this was the end of all things. Oh, finally I get to keep my law. Now I can keep the land and my inheritance. I can just be happy forever. And the reason why is this. Because they will not be able to keep that land forever. Even if they grew their wealth so mightily, in only a couple of generations, they would lose all of it. Because after many years, the Israelites and their sin causes the exile to happen. The Bible tells us, after many, many years, Assyria would come and destroy the nation of Israel. The inheritance that was so held so dearly was burnt up and distributed among the enemies who would desecrate the land. At that point, one wonders how significant the inheritance of the families were in the first place. At that point, it didn't matter if you had all sons or all daughters. Everything you once held dear is now lost. What does that mean? Did God not keep his promise about an inheritance? Remember, the Israelites having the land and a home was a promise from God to Abraham. And that is why in our passage this morning, the tribe of Manasseh, the daughters of Zelophehad, were so worried about losing their inheritance. It's a promise that's given to Abraham. Yet still, in a few hundred years, they would lose everything. Does that mean God didn't keep his promise to the Israelites? The answer is no. God is a promise-keeping God. His promises are forever. So what does it mean that the Israelites lost their land? Well, it means that God's promise of an inheritance was never about something here and now. God's inheritance for his people was something greater than now. God had in mind an inheritance that cannot be lost to another tribe or through another marriage, an inheritance that cannot be stolen by criminals or a foreign nation, or even the stock market. God's promise wasn't about an inheritance that will last forever. Brothers and sisters, what do you believe your inheritance to be? Is it what your parents leave behind? Or is it what your Father in heaven gives to you? Because this is what the Israelites were supposed to do when they arrived in the promised land. As they received their land and their inheritance, they would see just a vast plain of lands. They would look to the center of their nation, that was supposed to be Jerusalem, and they would not see a temple nor a city. It would just be just a mountain with no city there. What they had to do was they had to build a city. But surely as you leave Egypt, as you are saved from slavery and death, and you look at God's miraculous deeds, and he promises you a land filled with milk and honey, and when you enter upon that land, you see just a plain field, you'd wonder to yourself, is this everything that God will give to us? The answer to that was no. If you're an Israelite and you thought, surely this is not everything, you were correct. Because here and now is never the full inheritance. Because the inheritance to come for God's people at the end of the day will not look like empty fields and a building that needs construction. No. If we read from the book of Revelation, the inheritance that we are to receive is actually a city upon a mountain, already built with the most lavish and beautiful jewels and metals. This is in the book of Revelation. If you read about the promises there, it's built upon a Mount Zion. It's built upon a mountain. There will be no situations where we would lose this beautiful city and our inheritance, because there will be no crimes in heaven, no illnesses, no death, and no sickness. And the picture we get of heaven is also a walk upon a mountain, because this city is set upon a hill. But when you get to the top of this mountain, you will not find, as I did in Korea, with a stone with the names of only men written upon it. No, you will find the book of life with the names of all of God's saints. And here is the best part of our eternal inheritance. It is a gift for you and me. We often do our best not to lose trust from our parents or grandparents so that we might receive our inheritance. We, who have children, work our butts off trying to leave an inheritance to our children. But God gives us an inheritance not based on what we do, but based on what his Son has done, Jesus Christ on the cross. And he promises us an inheritance for you, and get this, your children. Sisters and brothers, this is an inheritance that is worth remembering. As we live our day-to-day lives toiling so that we might build up something, rest assured of the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. And I think this inheritance is not only worth remembering, but also telling it to others, especially telling it to the next generation, our children, to our children's children. To tell them about an inheritance that no moth or dust can destroy, but an eternal inheritance guaranteed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We may be parents who don't have the means to leave behind an empire for our children. Maybe we won't even be able to leave behind a house. But how fortunate are we that we can leave our children behind on this earth with the knowledge that they have in an eternal inheritance in heaven. Brothers and sisters, we long and we wait for our inheritance that's coming and coming very soon with the return of our Savior. That is an inheritance worth remembering. It's worth speaking about and it's worth holding on to so dearly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have an inheritance in heaven. We thank you that as we toil on this earth, we can always know that our inheritance is made safe and secure in your Son. That we will have a city, we'll have a place called home that is better than anything that this world can offer. And we have all of this in your Son, whose name we pray. Amen.